Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang, our series of discussions on the beautiful stream of divine love, divine wisdom, divine glory penned by Bhagwan himself from 1958 till 1984. I have said this before, but this is something which is so phenomenal every time you think of it. Never before did the avatar actually write down. Never before did God incarnate pick the stylus and actually pen down his message. The Bhagavad Gita came to us through Vyasa. Ramayana came to us through Valmiki. But in the Satya Sai Avatar, Prema Vahini, Sandeha Nivarini, Sutra Vahini, Ramakathara Savahini, Bhagavata Vahini, Prashnottara Vahini, Sutra Vahini, Dhyana Vahini, Jnana Vahini, everything flowed directly from the pen of the Divine Director. And Bhagwan painstakingly wrote this month after month. In fact, this is the purpose for which Sanatana Sarathi began way back in the 50s on that glorious Shivaratri day. And after writing this month after month for nearly 25 months, Bhagwan then concluded, but whatever Swami has sent, it is given us, it is something that even if we now ruminate for 25 centuries, 25 generations, 25,000 generations, you would keep getting 25,000 new insights of what the avatar has gifted us. And on these Thursdays, we have covered more than 20 weeks. I think today is the 22nd episode of Vahini Satsang. We began with Prema Vahini, and we have come slowly, little by little, inching chapter by chapter. Today we are in chapter 9 of Prema Vahini. And as we began chapter 9 for the first episode of Vahini Satsang on chapter 9, when we discussed the first segment, segment 9.1, we had Professor Chandrasekhar from the Department of Mathematics and Computer Science, who gave us beautiful instances, slices from his life about how to deal with ego, because very clearly Bhagwan says that the increasing peacelessness in man is because of the multifarious manifestations of his ego. And you had beautiful elaboration of this by Professor Chandrasekhar. And then we had in the next segment Mr. Ajit Popat, who shared about how people perceive power in today's world and how what comes only from within is power, and what is gifted to us, whatever comes from outside of us, can never be true power. How Bhagwan had directed him, how Bhagwan had demonstrated this to him, and how Bhagwan has instilled this in him. So that was segment 9.2, and today we move on to segment 9.3. And today Bhagwan has decided to make the session even more memorable. He has sent to the studios two beautiful, very senior, distinguished luminaries of Bhagwan's institutions, two former students who have not only lived with Bhagwan, who have also have had the opportunity to serve in his institution at very close quarters, mentoring students, guiding the young minds, and spearheading departments in the university. We have Dr. Sivashankar Sai, someone whom every student who has passed out of, who has graduated from the portals of Bhagwan's senior boys hostel would very endearingly and lovingly remember. And we also have Dr. O.S.K. Shastri, someone who served in the Vrindavan campus of Bhagwan's University, Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, for 18 years after he finished his bachelor's, master's and his master's in technology in Bhagwan's University. And currently, Dr. Shastri is the dean of the School of Physics and Physical and Material Sciences in the Central University of Himachal Pradesh. And Dr. Shivshankar Sai continues to be in the Prashanthi Nilam campus now as the Dean of Sciences. Sir was also formerly the warden of the Sri Satya Sai Senior Boys Hostel. And of course, Sai Prakash, as usual, is there joining us with us, the co-host of this program. So with prayers to Bhagwan, we begin this session. So let's listen to 9.3, the segment, the next segment in this chapter, and then we will listen to the reflections and the insights from Dr. Shivshankar Sai and Dr. Shastri.
నిజాధికారి స్వరూపము సత్యము దయ ప్రేమ సహనము కృతజ్ఞతను కలిగి ఉండుట. ఇవి కలవారికి అహంకారమే రాదు, అట్టివానికి చోటే లేదు. అహంకారమే ఆత్మప్రకాశమును మరుగుపరుస్తున్నది. అహంకారము నశించిన అన్ని బాధలు తొలగిపోవును, ఆనందము ప్రాప్తించును. మబ్బు సూర్యుని ఆవరించిన రీతి అహంకారము ఆనందమును ఆవరించినది. కన్నులు విప్పి కన్నులకు అడ్డుగా ఒక గుడ్డను లేక అట్టను పట్టుకొనినా చెంతనే ఉన్న వస్తువులను కూడా చూడలేము కదా. అట్లే భగవంతుడు మానవులకు అన్నింటికంటే సన్నిహితుడుగా ఉన్ననూ అహంకారపు తెర వలన మాధవుని చూడలేకున్నాడు.
వన్ హూ ఇస్ ఫిల్డ్ విత్ ట్రూత్ కంపాషన్ లవ్ ఫర్బేరెన్స్ అండ్ గ్రాటిట్యూడ్ ఇస్ ది ఎంబోడిమెంట్ ఆఫ్ ట్రూ అథారిటీ. Such a person will not have ego. There is no scope for it either. It is ahankara or the ego which obscures atma prakasha or the vision of the self. When one gets rid of the ego, all troubles disappear and ananda or bliss is attained. Just like clouds cover the sun, ahankara or ego covers our ananda or bliss. The eyes may be open, but if a cloth or cardboard placed in front of them obstructs the vision, then one cannot see the objects around even if they are very close. So too, man is not able to see God even though God is closest to him than anything else, because the screen of ego prevents his vision.
So that is segment 9.3, and now Bhagwan is clearly spelling out what is true authority. So Dr. Shastri, you would like to share your insights on what occurs to you as you listen to this. What are the first thought in your mind?
See, Bhagwan always said, if you let yourself ego, you go, Swami says. If you take it away, then you allow him to work through you, then he can do whatever he wants. But unfortunately, like, our mind comes in between, and then we always keep taking the credit once in a while, with forgetting that everything actually is being done by him. So when I was ruminating on this particular topic, I thought I should share some of my experiences.
Oh yes, please.
Which I had being in Vrindavan. See, all of us are part of sports meets, and it's around 2000, I think, after Sai Prakash has come to his MSc here. Mm. And I think you also are already in your MBA. Suddenly Swami was not coming very often to Vrindavan, 2001, 2002, because of the, you know, he had that injury and all that. So slowly chances were also decreasing for the students. And unfortunately, we also lost out on the chances, few chances that we used to get as part of being a part of the convocation drama. Swami said, no, PG boys should be there. Mm. And two, three batches of boys, they almost come to the third year and there was hardly any interaction for them with Swami.
Hmm. So unless Swami goes to Vrindavan, you don't get the opportunity of three sessions.
So exactly, three sessions were not there, and so everything was like drying up. And so we were like just all the teachers in Vrindavan, we sat together and we were thinking how to, you know, how to get the students to interact with Swami so that they can get some chances.
Yes.
What are the possibilities?
Yes.
And then that's when we thought, our batch got very good chances because we used to make dramas. In our 89, 90, 91, we did Jayadeva and all these dramas, Karishe, Vachanam, Mama. And so Swami was very happy and we used to get very good chances. So we said, why not we try again? Actually, there was a huge gap after that. We did not have dramas during sportsmen. So Narasimhamurthy Garu said, I think that's a good idea. But first you try making something here. We will watch how it comes out and then we'll put it up. Mm-hmm. So actually we made a drama called Talent is God, based on Swami's discourse. No? Swami said, talent is not a gift of God, but talent itself is God.
God, yes.
So based on that, we made a drama, and in that actually that Bajru Bava's scene was there, in which Ashwath sang. Yes. And Warden sir liked it so much, he put it in the convocation drama. So, you know, we were like wondering, now what do we do? So then he said, don't worry Shastri, we will do Jayadeva. And so that's how we actually that's exactly what is written, no? Because we were all having only one thing in mind, that we should make Swami happy. Mm-hmm. And so why should get good chance? No other intention and thought was there. Completely only to just make Swami happy. But we were so afraid also, because dramas have stopped during sports meet. And of course with that repetition we came with a lot of prayers and all that. And the rest was like beautiful, because once we came, Swami saw it once, twice, thrice before the final performance, and finally on January 11th, he was not able to wait. He said, evening itself, we'll have the drama. So that actually like sort of triggered very good opportunities. Every main character in the drama, Swami took that year to Kodaikanal. Wow. And we were extremely thrilled ki whatever prayer we had, that fructified.
I think for every teacher in Swami's hostel, you know, if in some way you can facilitate this student-Swami interaction that's the most
fulfilling
moment.
We feel our job is done.
Yeah. Yes.
The connect with Swami is most important.
Yes.
And that is what he actually takes from this institute, from Swami's institute.
Yes, every boy.
And
every
we as teachers, if we can facilitate that act to happen,
yes.
I think we have done our job. Yes. And then Swami would be
Swami takes care after that. That
very
connection
happy.
Yes, is what's more important.
Now, I would like to just mention, as I was listening to Swami's narration on the ego.
Yes.
I remember Swami telling a student, it was an NTU room setting. All boys were seated. You know, in those good old days, Swami used to ask them to ask questions.
Mm.
And then, invariably, Swami would be, happy to answer the spiritual questions.
Yes.
So, one boy asked, Swami, what is Ahankara?
Mm-hmm.
Ahankara. A very bold question for a student to ask.
So was it college students or school students?
Yes, it was college students.
Okay.
I think it was before the convocation drama or so, when Swami would start off the entire process in the month of September, October itself.
Yes.
And students used to get so many, many chances as Shastri was mentioning.
Mm.
So Swami said very nicely, the one which he really keeps telling in his discourses, the aham, the I taking the form, akara, is the ahankara.
Yes.
So ahankara in that sense is not bad. Mm. Swami said that.
Mm.
I mean, that was very
because
nice.
The basis is aham only.
Aham. Aham is the...
Yes.
And this aham taking the form of a body is ahankara.
Ahankara.
Therefore, by itself, Swami said, ahankara is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Then... I mean, we were happy to know that. but then Swami said, no, you get attached to the body.
Mm.
And this ego dominates you.
Yes.
The boys understood But then he had some more questions. He said, Swami, if it is attached to the body, how do we remove?
Yes.
And then you are saying that it is okay to have the ahankara.
Yes.
Swami, I do not understand it clearly. Please, can you explain?
Mm.
Swami was in a very nice, sweet mood. Mm. And then he said, gave the example of slippers. You know, Swami always has such a nice way of making coming down to the level of the students or to anybody. Even if he's talking to the children, he'll come down to the level of children.
That's a sign of every great master.
Every great master. And then Swami said, it's like slippers. Ahankara is like slippers. We were all, first time I was hearing, and then it's very wonderstruck. What is this Swami relating ahankara to the slippers? He said, why do you wear slippers? Of course, to protect your feet. And then as you go, it protects you from thorns and all that things. Then he said, when you come to the temple, when you come to Prashanthi Nilayam, what do? You leave your slippers outside. Very nice. And then come here. So you remove your ahankara and enter into the presence of God. That was also extremely very nice. Then Swami said, so when you go to the Guru or the God, you have to leave your ahankara. You have to leave your that body sense.
Yes.
Then only you will receive His grace. That part was also very nice. We all understood. Then Swami said, when you go back, what do? Again, you wear the slippers and go. And that's where we thought. That means you can again take back your ahankara. You have left the thing when you have entered. But then you can take back. That's what Swami is meaning. We were a little confused. Swami said, yes, it is important that you need to have even that.
Yes.
But to a measure.
Yes.
Then we all sort of put a a face which is a question mark face, as Swami calls it. Then Swami understood. He said, see, we are all living in this Dvaita, dual world.
Opposites.
When you,
world of opposites.
World of opposites. When you live in this world, you need to have this.
Yes.
And then Swami gave that small, another beautiful analogy, which I remember. He said, like a police officer, he comes to a guru who was giving discourse on Advaita and in Atma. He comes and listens to that, and then he's very happy. And then after that, when he goes back to his office, another police person brings a thief. Now, if he does not discharge his duty as police officer, he will be doing wrong. But he just now heard from the guru that everything is same.
Atma.
Atma. The thief, the same Atma which is in you, is there in the policeman and in the thief also. Then Swami said, that is, though it is true, he has to discharge his duty as police officer, not as one atmic level where he sees the thief also as his own reflection. So Swami said, when you are living in this world of opposites, you have to,
play your role.
Behave like,
play your role to perfection.
Play your role properly. So that's how he defined beautifully this ahankara. Ahankara by itself is not bad, but you have to understand the meaning of ahankara. So, and I will just mention one more thing which just is occurring. That Swami says the two eyes. One is the eye. Capital I, which is the aham, and the atmic self. And the other one is that E-Y-E-I, which is associated with the body. So, he distinguishes this I from the I.
Yes, yes. Yeah, wonderful. I mean, only Swami can explain through such beautiful analogies, and we have seen any number of occasions where Bhagwan...
So that's what actually I was trying to say.
Yes.
At that time, we did not have much talent.
Yeah.
So, but all the good talent has come off to Puttaparthi. All our artists are here. And yet we managed to make that, Jagannath Puri temple and all that. And still we managed to make the temple.
Yes.
That's because we just left everything to him. So in all our dramas, we used to have a punchline.
Yes.
Swami, you are the Kartru, you are the Bhoktru.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. It was very easy to say. And easily forgotten.
Yes.
But anyway, what I wanted to mention was, second year we did Annamaya. That also was, very beautiful effort. We put all our heart and soul into it and Swami enjoyed it and we thoroughly. Then we thought enough, everybody got chance and we will stop.
Oh.
And so next year we started off with some other items for sports. And suddenly, evening, Swami says in Bhajan Hall, see, Vrindavan boys get such good drama, what are you doing? So in one sentence, he made two dramas. So again, there was a frantic call from here. Swami is expecting drama from Vrindavan. And you see, that afternoon only I had a beautiful experience. Actually, Dr. Roy Kumar, our current warden of Satsai Hostel there, he was not well. So after lunch, I went to see him in his room in A0. Mm-hmm. And so I was sitting with him and he was watching Annamaya. He said, Shastri, see how happy Swami is, why you are not doing drama like that and all. Mm-hmm. I said, sir, it is his wish, whatever he wants will happen. And you won't believe, even as I was telling it, I saw the entire Ramayana happening on the walls in the room.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And evening, Swami said this in the bhajan hall. And immediately the phone call came. Immediately there was an emergency meeting at 8 o'clock. And same night, Swami came in G.N. Kiran's dream and asked him, what are you doing for me this time?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So, you see, like Swami works at so many different levels. And so, we finally decided we will do Adi Kavi Valmiki. And so, when we started off, our Vice Chancellor sir sent a letter that time saying that this time the dramas will be there from both campuses and it will be in the Institute Auditorium.
Mm.
So obviously we have to plan differently. I asked our warden, sir, should we plan for Institute Auditorium or should we plan for Sai Kulwant Hall? Because sets have to be made accordingly.
Mm.
He told Sri Shastri, Institute Auditorium, who will see? Nobody will see. It should be in Sai Kulwant Hall only. Don't worry, we prepare for Sai Kulwant Hall. I will convince Swami. You know the typical confidence, right? And so we prepared for Sai Kulwant Hall. All the sets, mega sets we made and came here. And so he told Swami, all sets are made for this, we can't do there and all. Swami didn't say anything to him. We went inside Bhajan Hall. After the Bhajan Hall, Bhajan got a ritual. Vrindavan teaches under ki ahamkaram.
Oh my God.
You can imagine what would have gone through us. Immediately emergency meeting after Bhajan. And we told sir, why did you tell Swami anything?
Ego surgery now.
Now surgery has to be done. And you see the confidence of Swami. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And we all said one single unanimous voice, sir, wherever Swami tells, he has Shastri, but what happens to the sets? Sir, you don't worry, sir. Swami will take care of it as if we are going to do anything. The Kartru Bhoktru is he only. So you let him take care of it. You just simply tell Swami whatever you say, we do.
Hmm.
Full stop. Let us not, you come to please him and he is telling you are having ahankara, what to do. So, Swami was very confident. Next morning, 7 o'clock, warden sir went and sat in the front. Swami asked, eppudu ending and lichestaru. Swami, whatever time you tell Swami, 4 o'clock, akkada vastanu pettukondi.
In the auditorium. He was
sure that we will come around.
In the college auditorium.
He knows how to give the, where to cut you short. So, that's how then Swami came there. We had to cut all the sets. And then,
I think as the sets were being cut, everyone's ego also was being cut.
And then we went inside. Again, so welded it, and that lift, which was to bring the Brahma up and down, and on which lot of things were to happen, like Sita is abducted, all these things have to happen. That was not working, and Swami is supposed to come, and then we tried everything. We called Bangalore also, those people who have given that lift, that hydraulic,
Yes,
actually Indreshwar got it through somebody. And we were wondering what to do. I said, leave it here, Swami will take care. And then we came up front because Swami's car has come.
Oh my God. It was not set right.
What else to do? what we can do? We tried everything possible for half an hour and Swami's car has arrived. So we just came to the door to receive Swami. And then we were just, put namaskar and Swami smiled and went inside. As he was sitting, Krishna came and told, sir, it's working now. Nobody knows why it's not working. Nobody knows why it's not working. So you see, as long as
he waited for that moment of surrender, right?
Completely. Till you keep trying, Draupadi sari, till you keep trying, he won't. When you leave it to him and fold your hands, then he will take over.
Yes.
And it happened.
Yes.
And the whole drama, Swami enjoyed. Of course, Swami loves Ramayana. And that Ramkatha is what Swami is to hear every every time he goes to Kodai. And so entire Ramkatha we picturized it on the background. Wow. And then that is, I think, the most satisfying moment for me personally in life. Swami said, Karnanandam, Nayanandam, Hridayanandam, Divyamaina Anandana Andincharu, Swami said.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, what more we wanted. And so that's what
happened. So you've given us bliss at so many levels.
So many levels. Mm. And then Swami said, we will have it again in Poonchandra.
Cyclone.
Oh.
So after the ego said, now no problem.
Then he was happy. Now he can, he wanted to show to everybody. But then all our sets were cut. Everything was just like, you know, dangling, but still Swami enjoyed. But then next what happened is what I wanted to tell.
Hmm.
Next year, now our confidence levels have gone up, right? So the ego has set in. So I used to have a policy, right? 5P philosophy. Hmm. Prior planning prevents poor performance. So I thought everything is in that. We have to plan well, we have to execute well, means you have to do everything. So next day we started off with Bhakta Prahlada, full Josh and all that. And you think that you are doing, right? Yes. Suddenly, you keep forgetting that actually it is he who is made. Just imagine, just now we had the experience and still we had to forget. That's why ego is very difficult. The next sentence, I think Swami is telling that only. It is, you know, every now and then you forget who is the Kartru and who is the Bhoktru.
Yes.
And my God, our entire script was ready, everything was ready. I thought we only just have to, you know, pick the characters and start practicing in July. After Guru Purnima, we generally go and start practicing. Everything, not even one thing went as per plan. Everywhere obstacles.
So even though you started planning so early?
So early. We started planning in February.
Oh my God.
Script, everything, songs were all set. All, you know, so much planning went into it. Everything started going smoothly. And that's all. Swami wanted to teach lesson. So everywhere there were obstacles. So that's when I changed finally after realizing the 5P philosophy to 6P philosophy. Prior planning with the prayer.
with prayer.
With prayer.
Without prayer, you see, you cannot achieve anything.
Hmm.
So otherwise it is extremely difficult. And so that was a wonderful journey, I think. Swami has been constantly, you know, actually we think that we are doing something for the boys, but actually we are growing with it.
Yes.
And constantly he is teaching you more and more lessons.
Yes.
And I remember finally, I think after that, of course, we did Kabir. And finally, by the time we came to Tukaram, I had a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
So like this only, we wrote the drama. And what we planned and what came always was different, because what Swami inspires when the writing starts, we don't have any control on it. Like Arvind and me, we'll sit through the whole night and next morning we'll have something which we never thought.
Mm.
He just prompts and takes it. So this time in Tukaram, Bhagavad Gita came in. And so there, Krishna and Arjuna were discussing, and Tukaram was thrown out of the, you know, village for giving that water to that outcast. So he was thrown out of the village and he was very much depressed, just like Arjuna was depressed. And then actually, like, you know, he sees the Bhagavad Gita there live. And so we wrote the you know, dialogues, but then the three shlokas which he was supposed to see in front of the dialogues, we wanted to put some, you know, shlokas from the Gita. So, Narasimurthy sir was expert on Gita. He knew the Gita by heart, in and out. So I told him, sir, these three slokas we need for these three dialogues, and went to him. And he was very busy, and he said, no, okay, Shastri, we will see, don't worry, I'll see sometime. And then generally after Guru Purnima, we have to go and start practice. But the script was not fully ready. Some things are still pending. So I was just praying. So I was staying here during Guru Purnima, and I was about to come for darshan, and somehow, like, I went to put vibhuti there in the altar, and on my on the altar, my mother's Bhagavad Gita was there.
Mm-hmm.
Small pocket Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why the thought came, and I thought, yaar, why not I simply, you know, pray to Swami and write.
Mm-hmm.
I simply picked up the Bhagavad Gita, prayed to Swami, opened. Whichever came, I wrote down that as the first dialogue.
Wow.
Again closed, prayed to Swami, opened, wrote down the second dialogue. And again prayed to Swami, opened, wrote down the third dialogue. And perfect it was.
Wow. Each sloka was exact fit for the dialogue.
Phenomenal.
Not once, but three times. And then I felt, boss, everything he is only doing. What is your role? You have nothing. You just have to only enjoy. And the next 2 months, sir, I never came down that stage. You know, full time I was able to, that ananda, na?
Yes. Karunananda, Divyananda,
that ananda of completely handing over the reins to him,
yes,
I experienced for the next 2 months, because I felt that there is nothing that you need to do actually.
Just go with the flow.
Just go with the flow. Mm. Only problem is, as you said, once in a while the cloud comes, sir, and then you again lose that,
yes,
the fine, yes, beauty that actually he plays through you. Mm. So, I think any one of us who talk about our sportsman experiences like this, how many will be there?
Sir, as you were mentioning so many things about, like, you are trying to do something, and Swami tells you, hello, I'm the one doing.
Exactly.
Like, one of the first times when I was about to play sitar in front of Swami, nuvu aistava, andaru uriki potarra, everybody is going to run away from here. I said, no, Swami, you have to play. It's not the correct answer. Correct. So, you know, I was just reading this paragraph again and again and again, because it's so beautiful. He's... the world today, you know, equates power with a talent, or with a possession, or with an ability, capability, excellence, brilliance. And so if you are brilliant, you're wealthy, you're successful, then you are looked up in the world. So that is a state of power. Beautiful, attractive, oratory, anything. But Swami's yardsticks of who a real powerful person is totally different. He says, truth, kindness, love, patience, forbearance, and gratefulness. I mean, so I was just trying to put these two together and trying to see what it actually means. As you were rightly saying, Swami says, ahankara is, you know, aham plus akara, the body. And any attribute or any character, you know, any quality that kind of adds strength to the thought that you are this body is not one of power. That's what it means. Like, now when you say kindness, love, they tend to, you know, take you away from the fact that you are this body, or you are this...
much beyond the body.
Much beyond the body. And, you know, at two levels, it works at two levels. Like, your kindness, your compassion, your love, it is not only to others, but it is to yourself also. You have to be kind to yourself and not limit yourself to this body. So, this is something very, very...
Yeah,
yeah, because these qualities of... you know, you tend to think that if somebody is very truthful, can he survive in this world? Can he become powerful? Can he be successful? Now, when you try to take Swami's teachings and put it in a practical context, suddenly you start realizing that this is a total antithesis of power, of control. you would like to be smart, you would think that, you know, giving back a prompt reply, whether it is truth, untruth, you know, managing the situation, these are the things that give you power. But he says truth, kindness, love. I'm sure there's a lot to ponder on these.
Absolutely. I think the insight Sai Prakash, you shared about, you know, anything that adds to your body consciousness definitely,
right,
is not something that is adding to your power. It's actually making you powerless.
Yeah, it's limiting you.
Yeah.
Basically, it's limiting you.
Yeah. It is actually weakening your true self.
Right.
And in fact, you know, as you were narrating what happens in the world outside today, this morning I was having a conversation with another alumnus,
right,
Siddharth Bhatt, who passed out, who graduated from here in 2002, and then he moved on to work in Tata Motors, and then very quickly, by Bhagwan's grace, in 13 years of his corporate career, he found himself working under the Tata Group Chairman.
Okay.
And so I was asking him, you know, how easy or difficult it has been for him to try and live up to
be a Sai student, because he always was saying that, you know, once you are a Sai student, you are always a Sai student. You may graduate from Satya Sai University, but you are always a Sai student. And so he was saying, you know, 99% of his peers, everyone is used to smoking and drinking, and you know, that's a common thing, because he says there's a lot of stress, I mean the so-called stress, and for that you need to stress busters and all that. So one of his bosses, he asked him, you know, why don't you do it? Mm. You know, how can you not do this? You know, mm. It's like, it's very weird. And so he says, you convince me why I should do it.
Mm.
You know, so he says, so the boss says that this will help you to, you know, beat your stress, but I'm not stressful. And he was saying, at every dining session, like, he would always chant Brahmarpanam. I mean, he would chant it on his own. So he's saying, initially, you know, whatever he was doing, it was very different.
Mm.
And people definitely thought that, you know, he's something else. But he says, with time, he has earned so much of respect in the organization. And another very beautiful thing he said, I said, okay, what is your mantra? You know, dealing with different kinds of people, especially in a corporate sphere, you have somebody trying to take away your credit, somebody trying to trample on you, all that things happen. He said, I'm doing one thing that Swami said, talk less. Wow. I said, really? Because, you know, you are told, yeah, that you got to impress people with your presentations, you got to impress people with your the way you express yourself, and that's the way to, you know, get ahead in life, in the outside world. You know, if you're an introvert, nobody's going to really, you know who you are, you can't really make an impression. But he said, no, this is what has helped me in life, because then you can cut off a lot of unnecessary things. You are saying, just by talking less, I have managed to go on top. So that was something I felt was, you know, this is when Swami started the management school. I remember, I mean, he mentioned about all this. And even way back in 93, when I was a student, as a school student, Swami used to always say, talk less, talk less, talk less. And, you know, first time I'm hearing someone who is now spearheading the Tata Group in strategy, saying that the mantra for driving such a huge business conglomerate, which has like more than 600,000 employees today, is you talk less.
And today he spoke to you for 4 hours?
Yeah. Yeah, today he spoke, because I requested him to share, because, yeah, there was something. And another very beautiful thing, you know, when I reflect on this, where Swami says, one who is filled with truth, compassion, love, forbearance and gratitude is the embodiment of true authority. Such a person will not have ego, and there is no scope for it either. Somehow, you know, in the recent times, one leader which comes to my mind is Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam. You know, someone in the current times, you know, you saw someone with so much of at his power in his hands, and he's commanding so much of authority, but, you know, you saw in him such simplicity, such humility. You know, many times you think, okay, we cannot, this will not work in this world. But I think he was someone who was living in this world right now with us. I mean, he just, in fact, in this month, in July 2015, he left us. And it was, again, a very, very blessed exit. And but he was someone, you know, who really lived all these principles, I feel. Because the other day I was just reading a very beautiful little story about him. There's a book, it's called What Can I Give? It's written by Srijan Pal Singh, who lived with Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam the last 5-6 years. And every anecdote that he mentions about Kalam is so beautiful. So apparently whenever Dr. Kalam used to go for all these visits, you know, he always loved to interact with people, always loved to connect with India, its masses. And wherever he used to go, you know, there'll be so many people who would be very eager to meet him. And it was explicit instruction to everyone that they should not stop anyone. He would say, like, at least for 10 seconds, I have to meet
If someone wants a photograph with him, or someone wants to talk, and there could be, and there would be like all kinds of people who want to meet with him. There would be, for example, there was one unscheduled visitor who was more than 90 years old, and he was a renowned freedom fighter who had seen Gandhiji, worked with Gandhiji, and he wanted to spend some time. He said, fine. There was another person in Allahabad who was a retired railway employee, and he had invented an improved pattern of laying railway tracks, you know, and there are different people who have different ideas about how they can make the country a better place, and he wanted to give an ear to everyone. And especially, you know, when there were children, he used to say that, you know, his vehicle should, his bulletproof car should just go dead slow. Absolutely dead slow. So there was one occasion when he was going to Guwahati in 2011, and he was really hard pressed for time. He had not actually prepared the presentation. So this Srijan Pal Singh was there with him, and they were going through the presentation. And so, you know, as he was seeing the slides, and Dr. Kalam was all the time looking out of the window, and you know, because there were a lot of children, they're waving at him, and he didn't want to miss, you know, waving at anyone. So Srijan Pal Singh says, sir, you're getting distracted so many times, you know, how are you going to prepare for this talk? And Dr. Kalam says, these are my people. You know what? I have lived a similar life. You see, a person very rarely gets the power to bring smiles on the faces of others. Just think about it. Notice how they smile when they see me wave back. Just being noticed, being relevant is a basic human quest. This is what brings happiness. They will go home smiling. They will tell their families about this. Then the whole family will be happy. With just a wave and a smile, if we have the power to make so many people happy, is it not worth a second of distraction? In life, if you have the power to make someone smile, never refrain from taking the time out to do so. Life will gloriously pay you back for the time you invest. Such a beautiful... I just felt that, you know, there are very, very few people we come across who have such tremendous power, and they utilize that power to empower people. They utilize that power to ensure that every person who saw them felt very powerful about themselves. I think that is something that where, and I think you can do that only if you don't have ego.
And that's what Swami teaches right from the beginning.
And that's what you saw Swami. I mean, in fact,
just as he was mentioning Sitar, na, just 1 or 2 days back, I was telling, about my experience when I sketched Swami's face in third year, in Vrindavan. And full time I was praying to Swami and sketching, because till that time I sketched Swami's feet or, you know, Swami closing his eyes with putting like that. They were easier expressions. That also I used to keep chanting Om Sitaram and only do it. But then this one was, you know, that's from Alexei Allen's sketches. Na?
Yeah,
from that I was making that Swami smiling na, with full eyes completely open. So I was just praying to Swami, it should come out well like that. And praying to Swami, and I did that, and it came out very nicely. Swami saw it, was happy. But I wanted Swami to sign it. So, you know, you keep on pestering, right? So I kept going. Every time I keep getting some good chance close by to Swami's chair. And because we used to run and then go there inside Trai. And one day finally Swami took it in his hand. Asked, Yavar chesara?
Who did this?
Who did this?
And you are holding the painting.
I was holding the painting. So with trepidation I said, Swami, nene chesan. Swami said.
You said, I have done it.
Then I will correct, Swami, meer chesan. Mari? So you see, he ensures that right from beginning you are put in the right place to understand that he is the doer. You are just an instrument to enjoy being, you know, part of his play.
Wow.
And that is the true lesson he gives to each and every one of us right in the beginning, so that we remember that, you know, everything is done by him and we are only just his instruments.
In fact,
and the second thing that I remembered when you were talking is third year gratitude program. And so I made a card, and all of us were called inside for interview in the afternoon, and again I got chance to be very close to Swami's chair, and I gave the card to Swami. Swami read the whole poem and again reread the poem and stopped at this line. I will do whatever you want me to do, and read this out to everybody,
and then told me, I want only one thing. Talk less, study more.
Oh.
Not only this boy, from all of you I want only this.
Wow.
Till today I'm still struggling.
Amazing.
But of course with his grace only I think.
Yes.
We will shut up and listen
to No, I was just saying this Ahankara when Swami is talking about when we were doing the 1990 summer course series. He says it is the last stage.
Mm.
He says going beyond the senses, the body, the senses, the mind, the intellect, after that ahankaram.
Yes.
And then there is, so he says it's very, 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 very subtle. Mm. Even if you think I am not the doer, that is also ego.
That's also ego.
If you think I am the doer, so go back to class one. Now, if you think I am not the doer, that thought itself is
still ego.
Yes. It's still ego.
I
until the final frontier to cross.
Even for a person like Ramakrishna Paramahamsa,
yes.
I think when he was not well and he was having that, cancer.
Yes.
And in the towards the end of his life,
yes.
He came down. He wanted to come down.
Yes.
To meet his disciples, and then he asked the disciples, "Do you think I have ego?"
Mm-hmm.
Then they said, "No, Swami. Mm-hmm. No, I have." He says, "He says I have that much ego, like a line on water,
a line on water. Yeah, that much.
Because as long as you don't have the ego,
yeah.
If there are no two."
Yeah.
After all the whole creation, that's what Swami said. Na, I have created myself from myself to love myself.
Mm. Yes.
So, if the second is not there, there's nobody to love. Then you become the sugar yourself. So, you have to be the ante to taste the sweetness.
Yes.
So, till that time, ahankaram is good. You have to keep it.
I think that's what Shivshankar Sai Sir also, very beautifully Swami explained what Shivshankar Sai Sir was saying about, I think, since you have the body, you got to have that, but you should know to what extent and
what extent.
How much. Yes, but I think as you journey with Swami, you and as He chisels you, you will know what is that last little. I mean that comfortable thin self of ego that you should carry. Till you reach that, He'll keep chiseling you. And. In fact, I'm remembering Mrs. Ratanlal, someone who served Swami for, I don't know how many decades, at least 50, 60 decades.
No, not 50, 60 decades.
Five, six decades. It was just an enormous figure that was coming into my mind because every time you have seen her serving Swami. And, if you see her journey, it was the same shaping of your ego was happening all the time. Initially when she came, of course, she was very new to Swami and all that. But this is something that happened towards perhaps the last 10 years of her stay with Swami. There are so many occasions when you are actually serving Swami in physical quarters, you are all the time, you don't know what Swami is doing. Why sometimes you just get reprimanded for something that you have not done. It just happens many times, you don't know why Swami has reacted with you a particular way. And at many points in time, she used to also get angry. She used to always come back and she used to feel, why is Swami doing this to me? I didn't do anything. And, with time, she used to reconcile and, immediately sometimes she would react. Sometimes, she would get into depression also because you can't understand Swami. Like, what else more should I do? He simply is... Yeah. He's giving me this treatment for no reason. So, this was going on and so there were many times when she used to get seriously confused, depressed, dejected, and you're so lost also at times that, you know how to relate to this divine person. But with time, she realized how to deal with it. And she says that once Swami simply reprimanded her, and it was a severe reprimand, and she had done nothing for that. Because she could not find a reason why she should be given that kind of...
blasting off.
And Swami does that only to chosen ones.
you should be lucky to get that.
Yeah, really. So, and at that moment, she said, but Swami was, there was this, Swami is erupting like a volcano.
Mm.
But she was like as still as a placid lake. And she was smiling there. And Swami said, "You're smiling? You know, I'm chastising you." She said, "Swami, look at me, Swami. What was I? You brought me here. Look at so many things that has happened through me. Who am I? You set up the printing press, you know, you made me cook, and you made me set up the hostel, you made me set up the library. I mean, so many things that have happened. You think I have done anything? I have not done anything. So, I have nothing. It's basically whatever I have done is what you have done. Now you are scolding yourself. So why should I bother? Because I am nothing. So you please, you know, you continue. Scold as much as you want. Till your heart is full. Keep scolding. When you are happy, it's fine. I have nothing to worry. It doesn't affect me only. Swami was stunned. And she says, from that day, Swami never raised her voice.
But I think, you know, that understanding...
That purity. That thing should be there.
You know, and if you're not that... If you're not convinced to the bones what you're speaking, Swami immediately cut you short and stunned. But I think that understanding comes... And this happened like towards the fag end of her sojourn with Swami. So... I think perhaps she was at that stage where, you know, she was just that thin line on water.
Like, you know, Swami says ahankara and pride.
Yeah.
Pride, he says there are several types of pride. But the most difficult and subtlest of them all is spiritual pride. It's the most difficult. So if you are, you think, oh, I have achieved this. Yeah. No, I have given up all this. That is a bigger pride. And you say, you know, I have sacrificed so much for Swami. That is the highest pride. So as long as that I am there. You know, there is that beautiful story which comes to mind, like, I think way back in the 60s when Shivaratri time and everybody sitting outside waiting for darshan, and a group of so-called VVIPs were brought in, and Swami said, "Hey, tell them to come to my room upstairs." And so they were coming for the first time, as they were walking, the entire crowd, you know, the gen side, they're just looking at these four people, they're walking. All the people are looking at them like, you know, we look at a tennis ball in a tennis match. So the whole audience is looking at them. And then it's taken over from the ladies' side, so they are also looking at them. And these people, they were directly taken to the interview room and to Swami's room upstairs. So one of them thought, "Ariyar, I think I underestimated myself. I must be, after all, I am something. I mean, this level of importance." No, I underestimated myself. Lot of devotion is there in me. I mean, this level of VVIP adoration. Treatment. So he went up. And then Swami told, come, and apparently Swami had some tiffin also kept for them, tea, coffee and all that. And Swami was giving them, and then he was convinced. He said, "I was only thinking while I was coming up, now I'm convinced." He said, "Look at all the people sitting outside. Look at all the people, thousands of people sitting outside, and here I am enjoying tea and biscuit served with Swami, served by Bhagwan, and enjoying tea and biscuits. Fantastic." Then Swami looked at him and said, of course Swami is perfectly aware of what's going on. That cardboard has been put in front of his eyes, so he's not able to see the light. Swami said, "It's time to remove the cardboard." So Swami asked him, "What do you do when some guests come to your house?" "Swami, we call them in, give them tea, coffee, snacks, and we tell them to eat, and then they go." We speak to them. Swami said, "You all are my guests." But when your family member comes to your house, you say, "Hey, go get ready, aram se, wait, I'll come, we'll meet, we'll sit and talk." All those people who have come outside, who are waiting for my darshan, they are my family members. They are my own people. My own people, my own family members. And he says, just like, you know, after the marriage, you know, for the first time, the girl's parents take her all the way to the boy's parents' house and leave her and then come. He says, I go back with each of those people till they reach their home. They have come for my darshan, and with each of them I go back till they reach their home. I leave them at their home and then I come back. So this man is saying, what am I doing here? Why am I even in Swami's room? I should be. So, you know, this wow. kind of ego and that kind yes. of, I am this, I am great, or I am devoted, or I am good, or I am bad. Both.
Yeah.
You can't say, I am yes. bad, then Swami will say, who are you, to? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there will be so many occasions for Swami.
That Gopi story Swami is telling.
Yes.
Story of Gopika Swami is telling.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Narada, Rukmini, everybody dust off the feet for getting rid of his fever.
Yes.
And, you know, everyone was thinking, oh, how can we give the dust off our feet? They all thought it is a great sin. Gopika said, if it is going to remove their headache, or Vilavata's headache, please take it. Here it is.
Yes.
Nothing is, that's what he's saying. Either good or bad, nothing is there.
Yes.
As long as makes Swami happy, makes the Lord happy, I think that's all matters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I think, well, the Samam Bonam, as we all have been discussing, is you have to somehow let the ego go. I think we just have to be in that frame of mind. We have to be able to give ourselves to Him so that He can cut us. I think that is the first step. You know, we should be in a position to leave ourselves completely in His hands. As you know, I always say this, you know, only when we leave ourselves completely in Swami's hands, will we see Swami's hands in everything. So, I think that is the first step in cutting our ego. And only when we make, as Swami says, I need only your availability. Not your ability. He will give us that ability. And that proximity will come. But first thing is, we have to make ourselves available for Him.
Correct.
And I think that is the first step that all of us, as devotees, as students, as members of the Satyasaya organization, need to take. And that will happen only when we tell ourselves that Swami, as Gopikas used to say, you know, Swami used to say there's a difference between Yadavas and Gopikas. The Yadavas used to always say that, you know, Krishna is ours. Krishna is ours, because they thought, you know, Krishna is my maternal uncle or my maternal grandfather or whatever. But the Gopikas said, no.
We are yours.
We are yours. I think that is what all of us have to do, that sadhana, continuously to tell that Swami, we are nothing. You are everything. Yeah. And make ourselves available for His eco-surgery. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Shiv Shankar Sai sir and Shastri sir, for making it possible for us to have this wonderful session. I really thank Bhagwan, I mean, immense gratitude to Him. Every session of Vahini Satsang is just Him planning it, and we experience that every episode. And I pray to Bhagwan that He continues to guide us, because it is His message, and only if He graces us can we imbibe something that He has sent, written so painstakingly for us, for all the succeeding generations, and not only imbibe, but somehow internalize and make it a part of our existence. Thank you so much, everyone, and thank you so much, dear listeners. So with that, we bring to the end the wonderful Thursday that you have been with us all through the day. We are now in the month of July, and slowly Krishna Janmashtami will come. A lot of Parthi Yatras happening in Prashanti Nilayam. It's a very beautiful time to be here in Prashanti. As I always say, it's the most happening place on the planet. Today you had devotees from Poland offering, making their offering of love, and then you have so many Parthi Yatras coming up, devotees. Now also from Middle East are here, and then there are devotees coming from different districts of Andhra Pradesh. So many people coming here to put a Parthi, to put apart their eye. And so wherever we are, let's try and ensure that we take that step to put apart our I, so that one day we become one with that only I that exists, the only I that matters in the world. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.